that Larry was making is that there are a number of variables. It's like a partial differential equation. You've got variables moving all over the place, and you've got to hold one and then run the equation out. You've got to hold another and run the equation out and see how that works. And you know, the most interesting one, I think, is the declining per capita consumption. But it will flatten out. There has got to be a de minimis indoor amount. And then where do you turn? Well, then you turn to the outside irrigation watering, and that would require some significant changes in land use policy and planning policy on the part of city council, and saying, look, you cannot come in here, you won't be able to come in and put in a conventional, what was known for the last 25, 30 years as a tract home with the turf and so on and so forth. It's going to be smaller lots, maybe. It's going to be same size lots with water efficient landscaping, with xeriscape landscaping. You know, there's going to be a variety. We already do something like that with our HydroZone program for HOAs and other groups like that, where we offer a reduced, they don't have to bring as much water to the table, but they have to conform to lower water uses, and they have to demonstrate that through their water use. And so that HydroZone program, it's limited now, but that's the type of thing that may advance in the future. So, but again, how far out do you plan? I think Larry's right. You plan as far out as you feel comfortable planning. But even in the short term, next year when we were looking at revenue and the potential revenue that we could bring in from the impact fees, from selling meters, and we saw the numbers from downtown, and based on our our own data, our own input and knowledge of this of our service area, and empirically what's gone on, again, knowing that past does not necessarily predict the future, but trying to put a little massage in that, we factored it down, I don't know, 15% maybe, Jim?
Yeah, I'd say 15, 20.
Something in that neck of the woods. We said, no, I think this is maybe too optimistic. Now, if it comes in, great, we're going to get more revenue. But we said, no, we think that's a little aggressive. So we're trying to do a little tweaking there as well on a year-to-year basis. We do tweaking on a decade-to-decade basis in terms of things like tanks, larger diameter transmission lines. We look at the growth right now and say, you know, it looks like, based on the modeling that Tanner does, here, let's say year four, we're going to need another tank. So we'll put that into the CIP. Well, if growth slows down or 2008 hits again, obviously that tank is not needed, and all of a sudden it's there, but it gets pushed out. And we've had some major pieces of infrastructure pushed out literally for decades that were there long before I got here, long before Larry got here. They knew they were eventually going to need them. So it's almost an iterative process. Now, when it comes to the raw water and acquisition of that, we're faced right now with a I used to call it pig in the python. And that pig in the python is, you like that?
Yeah, never heard.
You've seen that. The pig in the python is Chimney Hill. Chimney Hollow, what did I say, Chimney? It's Chimney Hollow. It's Chimney Hollow Reservoir. That's the pig in the python. We don't know how much that's going to cost us. We have no, I mean, we sort of know, and that's what we're setting aside. But when it comes down to the final bid price and what we're going to have to kick in for our share, next, is it going to be January for the Fourth Amendment to the Fifth Interim Agreement?
February.
Okay, so February, we'll be bringing back the Fourth Amendment to the Fifth Interim Agreement for our annual payment to Northern Water, just to keep us going. And you can see how many times that iteration has gone through. So that to me is the concern, because when we had that graph a couple of months ago, we showed the graph in here. It's that reservoir that firms up a whole bunch of our water portfolio. We have to have that hole in the ground. And so, to me right now, I mean, would I like to buy CBT? Would I like to buy other water resources? Yeah, I'd love to. But until I get some surety, I can't recommend going out and spending what we have in terms of limited funds without knowing what our obligation is, our financial obligation is to Chimney Hollow. and Windy Gap firming, to firm up all the Windy Gap that we have. And possibly, Larry and I have talked about possibly going to water court and being able to put some of our other water resources in there as well, not just Windy Gap. And that would firm those up. So it's a combination of, I guess, juggling and ice skating at the same time. We take advice from anybody. We'd love to take advice, and we bring back iterations of the input to the water master plan, which is, we had the yield analysis and so on, and when we finally get around to the draft of the water master plan, that will be brought before here as well for input. So I mean that's kind of where we are in terms of planning, and we do the same thing in terms of infrastructure on the water and wastewater side as well. So I don't know what else to add.
Okay.
Gary?
Yeah. I was going to add, is there something that you'd like to see staff included on the director's report at the end of our packets that might help us deal with the...
Well, you know, one of the things that sometimes I'm not sure we talk about, so it could be that some of us say, with a little more work on our part or a little more information about a 3.6% growth rate that we think we ought to have, and we have unknown water supplies and we have unknown revenue that may not support that. And it could be some of us say, we just can't grow that fast. And if that's called a minority report or whatever it is, we kind of make the supposition that we're always going to have this growth, but we have unknown finance revenue to sustain the growth, and we don't really know for sure if we have enough water. Now, if you want to talk about the big picture as far as a risk assessment, that's a big picture. When staff come before us, and I appreciate very much, just like buying these transformers and all that, I understand that. Am I a technical wizard on that? Heavens no, I probably could be lucky if I can spell transformer correctly. Sometimes I think I could be used a little better in some other places. And I think that same thing happens to be true on the site for power. I guess I'm somewhat really bothered and have some sympathy with our solar gem people. I sat in on that last cost of service study, and I remember, a consultant brought up that we had to change that, and we were obviously upset a lot of the solar gem people with the new increase we had. I went back through my notes, pulled all my notes I kept on that, and I can't tell you any difference whether the methodology had to change or not. I really sometimes wonder if we took the solar gem rates and exploded that out and said we were 100% on solar, that everyone in Loveland had 100% solar, what would our revenues be like? What would that be like when we say if we had it applied 100%, which we never look at, but in a way maybe you ought to look at that when we say there's a small minority and we want to prepare for one that's a much larger one. So sometimes I think I personally starting to think, although I realize it's Dave Snyder used to tell him I haven't really been on this board very long, but I sometimes think that we should have more emphasis being understanding and on cost of study and on the 10-25 year plan, the implications financially, because to go to 140,000 or 200,000, we have to support that. I happen to also believe, I have this gut feeling from my years of working, that we are theoretically using up all our resources that are easily and cheaply available, and whether the town likes it or the rest of us on Front Range like it or not, everything's going to become more expensive with the three items that we have to function in the civilized society: water, wastewater, and power. So sorry to have got on so
long. Well, Steve, you might direct your
thoughts on that, because Larry's talking about some theological things that the city council probably should think about, and the direction that they want to go as far as population, how to serve everybody with utilities.
Well, yeah, and we've had some presentations by PRPA. On the upcoming in December, we're going to have a presentation, not by PRPA, but
by me.
Item.
Oh, oh, Joe.
There's the man. In which
Tuesday.
Council will be asked for our position on the PRPA board recommendation that they go 100% renewable by 2030. And so we'll get a flavor from council as to where they feel on that. I suspect there's some division on that right now. So.
Sure there is.
Yeah, and, but I mean, I think it's fair to say, I don't know of any council that wouldn't say we ought to embrace the technology as it comes into being, and as long as it's cost effective, and you're shaking your head, how come?
Well, I just read an article about windmills.
Yeah.
Wind generators.
And?
Expected life being 30 years, and they're decommissioning them after 20 years.
Well, yeah, but
they're still inherently billing for 30 years worth of service on, but we're only getting 20 years worth of service out of them. So in effect, we're reducing the effectiveness of our wind turbines by 33%.
Well, and certainly that's a relatively young industry as far as when you're talking about the industry overall. So there's going to be some learning curve by that for that, but I still think that council would say, well, as we improve our technology and our ability to use renewables, then we ought to embrace it. But to set an arbitrary 2030 date, I don't support that. And I don't know, I suspect that there's a fair number of counselors that also don't support that. But why would we want to stick with a non-renewable or a carbon-based, if we can generate the same energy at a comparable cost by using renewables?
Yeah.
I don't know why we wouldn't want to do that.
Eventually we can. I think eventually we can.
Yeah, I think so.
But I'm not willing to say let's drop all our assets just because this technology is available either.
Well, no, I don't think I'm saying that. I'm saying we ought to use it as it
right.
evolves,
right.
But not try to force it that transition prematurely.
Right.
So, anyway, I think council is not unaware of it. Council is it is being addressed. Right now, probably the vote on the PRPA board is there's a minority voice on that board, is there not?
There is.
So, Fort Collins and Longmont and Estes Park have all on board with going for that. I don't
Thank
think
God.
Loveland is not. Totally. I don't know if that addresses.
Yeah, we forgot to mention that the latest climate report that came from the federal government.
Yes.
Was pretty bleak.
Pretty dire.
And today in the New York Times, actually, they pulled out and ran an article about the wildfires, and they're going to keep getting worse, going to the southeast even because of the dryness.
Well,
climate change.
I certainly don't deny that there's not climate change. But I don't necessarily embrace the idea that it's all man-made.
Yeah, we would have, I respect your opinion, we'd have a difference of opinion on that.
Yeah.
But I think, at that public meeting I was at, again, I really think White River Power, and we're all being somewhat dishonest with ourselves when we don't know how much carbon dioxide we're emitting for nothing into the sky and doing nothing about. And I happen to think it is very harmful to society, and especially for our future generations.
And there's others out there that would say they don't believe that.
3% of the scientists, 97% of it. So, I don't like to take high risk bets when I have a high risk of losing, doing something pretty bad to future generations.
Well, and the high risk is being a scientist in which you object to the idea of climate change. It's not career enhancing.
Somewhat.
Career enhancing.
Career
enhancing.
Either one of the three percenters.
I would probably still side with the 97% of scientists in the world and say we're doing something. Statistics, it's one of these deals where everyone disagrees with me, and I think time will tell that I was probably on the right
side. Well, we can have a long philosophical discussion over a beer sometime, but I'm not going to change your mind. You're probably not going to change mine.
No, but we need. Interesting thing about it, one last thing. NPR today had a most interesting discussion with actually the groups there of women from Kentucky that were from coal mining country, who happened to say they believe that climate change is taking place, but economically they're a mono industry, and a bunch of liberal progressive women from the state of Massachusetts. Before the election, they actually got a bunch together for 3 days to listen to each other. They said, we knew we wouldn't probably agree with each other, but we gotta at least understand where they're all coming from. A neat deal. And that's one thing we've been a little remiss on, is this commission, from my standpoint, is we haven't even had discussions, even though I know most of us wouldn't agree with each other.
Well, I also believe that we can't solve the climate problem by Colorado alone, and we can't solve it by the U.S. alone. So until we get everybody, all the other countries on board, I don't think we're going to have much of that.
I agree 100% with you.
So
I think we're becoming a laggard, quite frankly. So we have nothing to disagree on.
Okay, is there anything?
So I'd rather not climate change be an example. You're going to have divisiveness, but as I read what's in the packet, the purpose of the Loveland Utilities Commission shall serve as an advisory body to the City Council on all matters pertaining to the water, wastewater, and electric utility. And so what I've been asking for is, if we're to advise, what's the world that we live in? And I'm hearing with regards to Raw Water Master Plan, it's from 10 years to forever. Somewhere in that range, and that may be fine. What I put in the email is, it might be helpful to have these kind of conversations and then come up with something in writing that we can revisit on occasion when we have these conversations and see if it's still valid, because I think it helps us in that advisory role and to steer away from climate change. I mean, you asked Gary for what might be helpful in the packet. I mean, if a goal of ours is to advise City Council on strategies and budget, to Stephanie's point, necessary to meet projected water needs now and whatever that time period is into the future, we could create written policies around that would help us with these kind of conversations and say it's our policy to be understanding of X situation and advise accordingly. And to the best of my knowledge, that doesn't currently exist. And that's what I've been asking for. And again, I'm one of however many is on the LUC. But I'm pretty sure if we looked at other boards, water boards up from other utilities, they would have some of this, maybe not all of it. Maybe it'd be a different version of what I'm talking about. But I think it helps that advisory position. And councils, they're the ones elected. You guys, you get paid the big bucks to make the hard decisions.
Sure.
We've just been asked to have crackers and ham and advise. And I feel
I'd buy you all a beer, but I'd have to borrow to do it.
And I just, to to beat the dead horse, I just feel as though I'm ill prepared to advise because I don't know the sideboards that we're living in.
Because, do you mind if I maybe interject?
Sure, sure.
And I appreciate those comments. When I got on the Citizens Finance Commission, I had a similar response. It's like, what the heck are we doing here? You know, what's our responsibility? And over the past year, me being on, then as elected, so past 2 years, the CFAC is now is defining its role. And I think it's city council's not going to define it for you. You can say, here's what we think we ought to do. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And then council can bless it. And so CFAC, for instance, is now going to take on the role of an audit committee, which is a brand new function that they've never done before. But it's a very important function, and most organizations of any size have an audit committee. Right now, the auditor reports to the finance department, so it's kind of like the fox guarding the hen house. So we're making that split to create an independence. Well, in a similar fashion, you all can say, here's what we think we ought to be looking at that we can do to best advise you. And I think council would welcome that.
One of the things that I get out of this whole discussion here is in defining our roles as commission members and what we do going forward, and the knowledge we have to go forward with it. We've got a lot of great knowledge on staff, Larry, because it's awesome knowledge about what to do. And when I got on the commission, we had a training course that we got to sit through. That was basically about 4 hours or 2 hours of this is the this, that's the that, and here's a book, go study it some more. I think learning sessions would be more important, especially as time goes on and we change and things change around us, that we're kept up to date on what's going on, rather than coming in and getting a piece of paper to read up on Friday before we come to meeting. But I think ongoing education for us as well, in regarding not only the future, but the past as well. What was done in the past? When was it done? Why was it done that way? Why are we moving forward in that same path? I think there's a lot of education to be done for the council for us to move forward and to make really informed decisions about what we're doing in here.
We get some of that education from the Cutter Water Congress and some other entities.
So,
South Platte Forum, and so it's kind of our responsibility to kind of pursue those, try and keep up on those. But yeah, I understand. Is there anything that you'd like to see staff included in the packet so that we maybe can be a little bit more informed on making decisions or recommendations to City Council?
You know, a couple things I would like to see some more operating statistics. Have I made out what I'm talking about? No, but I'd be glad to try to do that. And not enough that it's reasonably simple, but helps understand the scope when it comes, especially there are just lots of operating things I think that happen. And I don't imagine how big the picture is of what we accomplish. I'm talking about all the operating accomplishments.
Could you give me an example, Larry? Could you give me an example?
Well, just the fact when we finally got in on how many gallons of water we're treating, how many gallons we're billing. Yeah, you know, Jim got me the 17-year, I don't know where he squeezed it in to get it, but he got me the 17-year projection with wastewater. So I finally fit, you know, and I looking through the statistics of how much we treated and how much we build, and I thought, God, that's strange. 2012, we had a hell of a lot more water we treated than we came through wastewater. Well, then it dawned on me that was the bad drought year, and started by irrigating. And that's the kind of thing that I start to appreciate more from an operating standpoint, especially if I can put dollars to start seeing where things go.
There is a report on the website that's updated quarterly. If you go into the website and go into the reports and projects menu, there's a report called the Well, there's the growth report that's from our meter sets, but there's also the Loveland Water and Power dashboard.
We can start including that.
I can start including that in the packet.
We can start including that dashboard in the packet as it's updated on a quarterly basis.
But I'll also, I'll email you all a link so you can take a look at that. But that's our performance measures that we look at every quarter. And it's updated on the website.
But we'll include that as a hard print report.
Gary, so yes. I heard from Councilman Olson that the council would be open to the idea of us brainstorming what I call goals, but apparently we're not allowed to do that. We can either policies, practices, or guidelines, so we'll have to change the language. But if they're policies or guidelines, so I'm not necessarily saying we need something in the packet, but what I'm asking for is the ability for the LUC to have the time to develop those. And I'm not necessarily asking staff to do that. They're buried as it is. It ought to be something that comes from us. So if we're going to ask for something in the packet, maybe it's time in the agenda to start working through some, again, I keep calling goals, but policies, practices, or guidelines. And if that needs a motion from someone just to say, yes, that's what we want to do, I'm happy to make that motion. But I was really teeing it up for a conversation to see if people were even attracted to that. If the majority of the LUC thinks it's all in my head and I'm good with it, then there's no point in wasting the LUC's time with that.
Well, so you're suggesting that maybe we should get a meeting of just board members or commission members to review the
practices? We could do that. We could do a retreat sort of thing, but we could also just set aside, you know, 30 minutes every month to say, you know, is there something that, I keep wanting to call it a goal, is there a policy, PPP, practice, or guideline that
the we three P's.
Yeah, thank you. Three P's.
PQ. You know, sometimes those words are selected just to sound good. They don't necessarily
mean anything. Yeah, yeah. Well, our first recommendation would be change it to goals. So whatever the, you know, and maybe it dies on the vine. Maybe after the first one we say, you know, 30 minutes is way too much and there's nothing there. Or, wow, there's a lot there and this may take 12 months.
You know,
30 minutes each month or something. I don't know.
Okay, well. So he's suggesting maybe after the meeting, our commission meeting, or before the commission meeting, to get together and do this. Is that what you envision?
Or during? If it weren't for me, we would have been out of here 40 minutes ago. So maybe we have the time to do it during the course of meetings. Just a standing agenda.
Okay. All right.
But just to be clear, every discussion has to occur in a meeting. So this can't be something that occurs after a meeting or by email. It needs to be a publicly noticed meeting or a public audience.
Good point.
All right. Okay, we'll put it on the agenda. Yeah.
Good point. You can't do it over beer. No.
Okay.
Two at a time.
Well, you can.
Two at a time.
It just has to be public. You have to buy the keg.
Yeah. So as a final thing, I guess we can start to use the word goals. I had... I'll interject it now, Mr. Leader. So we always had this thing about setting our goals for the year that we didn't used to do when we started more. And I had down, I think we should put on the agenda for next December that we bring our list of goals or priorities or submit them to Courtney ahead of time. As an agenda, and then have it on
stuff
agenda
ahead of time.
So we actually try to originate.
It never works
some
for me.
Goals or priorities that come from our commission, not just from our
we should
staff.
That's a good point, and I think that's a good idea. Like, for instance, I went to the Platte River Forum, and I came up with one that I'd like to see maybe implemented on our goals, and that's maybe we should try and direct property owners up our watershed up Big Thompson Canyon to manage our forests. You know, maybe make a few suggestions on how we can manage the forest so that if there was a forest fire up there, that we can maybe contain it or something, and thinning the forest, doing forest management practices that would be healthy for our watershed. Yeah. by doing that, we could protect some of our water quality coming down also, so that would be something that I thought of.
And we have ties with a couple of different watershed authorities, and certainly do that.
Yeah. All right, is there anything else?
We will have that agenda.
This has been a good discussion.
Yeah.
That was a long time coming for us.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to thank Sean for that.
Thank you.
Bring it up, yeah. Okay, well, let's go to commissions and council reports. Steve, you want to start off?
Yeah, I was looking back through the past council meetings, and I didn't notice anything that was real significant relative to this body. Obviously, you know, the broadband's been, we're going to move ahead with that, so.
Yeah.
That provides a little direction for us. You get a hot tail off our plates.
Is that going to be a utility encompassing thing?
Yeah, I will, I can provide you with an update on that in December. We're still formalizing a couple of things, and I'd like to ask your indulgence until December, and I will come back with what we are actually going to do from a organizational standpoint. It's still in flux.
Okay.
Okay. We expected we had a couple more months there, Counselor.
Yeah, well, we surprised you, didn't we?
You did.
We're always full of surprises.
Okay, commission report. Larry, you want to start?
Well, one foreign subject. I read today that I think it was either Maine, I think it was Maine, the Public Utility Commission to one of their utilities there. There's been a contention between home generators and the utility, and then you had the stranded cost theory and all that stuff going on. But they actually compromised with an experiment they're going to run, and I don't know how many homes, but the fund, where they're going to put Tesla storage batteries into homes that have solar generating to see, and the utility will own the batteries that go in to store it and see if it's can be a promising cost and other reasons for both sides of the party, as opposed to a competitive situation on the terms of more proactive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Okay. Sean?
I'm good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, firstly, I think as many of you know, I was experiencing some back issues the past few months, and so I had back surgery 3.5 weeks ago. And it went very well, and my recovery is going very well, so I'm happy to be here with you today. And
good.
That went very well. Glad I had that behind me, pardon the pun.
No pun.
Secondly, I'm going to engage in a bit of shameless self-promotion. To share with you that Northern Water has selected the team of Dewberry engineers and HDR for the Northern Integrated Supply Project Conveyance Program. So what that means is our team is, our collective team is charged now with developing the designs for the conveyance portion of the NIST project, the two systems that will, the one of which is to distribute the water along the Front Range to the 15 or so entities that are part of the project. And then there's a section out in the eastern part of out in Weld County that has to do with the return of the water or exchange of the water to the Pooter or to the Platt from the Gailton Reservoir component of the project. So we're very excited to be a part of this very significant project.
Cool.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah.
And they're going to go forward with that even before?
They're getting it queued up.
Okay.
On the expectation that the NEPA permitting process will be wrapping up here. I think they're projecting, we're hoping for mid-2019. So
okay, good.
They're starting to get this part, this next phase of the project queued up to support that.
Good.
That's all I have. All right.
Thank you. Stephanie?
Nothing, thanks.
All right, I guess we're good. Okay, director's report.
Got a couple of really, pretty good news. We continue, let me rephrase that. CDOT and Kiewit continue to work at various locations in the river, which has been causing some turbidity spikes, and we've been off the river for a couple, 3 weeks now. We're maintaining very, very close communications with them. So we're 100% reservoir water right now. The turnover was completed a couple of weeks ago. Algae counts are down, and so that's very good. They expect at the latest to be out of the river by January 15th, and they may actually be out a little sooner, which would be good news. And much like last year, although we're foregoing our native water rights in the Big Thompson right now, we will seek reimbursement for what it's going to cost us to go out and get replacement water for that, just like we did last year. And they very happily, I'm sure they very happily paid the money for all those months. So they've been great to work with, and we've been working with them very closely. As mentioned earlier, the anoxic tank, the wastewater treatment plant upgrade project is going very, very well. The anoxic tanks are online. Just today, I signed off the release of the retainage for phase one of the wastewater treatment plant expansion, so that's fully behind, and it's just going very, very well. Finally, pretty excited about this coming Friday. I can't tell you what we're going to do exactly because there's people in here that'll be in the exercise, but we're having a tabletop emergency operations center exercise this Friday. It will involve both water and power staff, operations staff, engineering staff, GIS. Unfortunately, because of size, we're going to have it over in Public Works upstairs in their conference room up there. We're going to have Department of Homeland Security observer there, so that's going to be pretty cool. And we've coordinated this with LFRA, with Pat Miali in emergency operations, and it's going to count towards the kind of activities that we have to do if we seek reimbursement for emergencies from FEMA. This is one of those things you got to check off on a list to be able to get funds. So it's going to be good. It's not going to test. I have great faith that every single person in this utility knows what to do during an emergency. This is going to concentrate on communications, decision making, and how you structure command in an emergency. Those are the three points that we're going to really key on. So it should be pretty exciting. It's very, very realistic, and it's, I think, very, very timely. So very excited about that.
Joe, will that include simulated cyber attack, if you were, or is it just natural?
This is a physical natural disaster. Okay. We're not doing that one. That would be another one. I'm not sure. We'd have to coordinate that with IT. But no, this is a physical occurrence, and it's not just to let anybody know. It's not a flood. It's not a flood. We figured we went through that exercise 5 years ago.
Yeah, we've already had that.
So we got that one down pretty good. But I think it's a very realistic one, and LFRA has just been outstanding in their support. We spent many, many hours planning for this, and so it's going to be a really, really good. It's going to be a half-day exercise, so we're really looking forward to that. So good news.
Good.
And that's all I have, sir. And please take these. I think I read that over the weekend. Anytime I see things from the power industry that I think would be useful, this was pretty good, and I read it over the weekend and I enjoyed it. So.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to talk about? All right, we're adjourned.